to be so good to me. Bob-a-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba- Thing about Alice, she could laugh at herself. Yeah, she had a good sense of humor about things like that. But I think she worked hard when she sang. She put a lot of effort into it. It sounded like it. A lot of physical power in it. She must have put a lot of strain on herself. And she was usually tired at the end of the night and wanted to sit and do whatever she liked to do. She didn't have a big social life.
It's a funny thing, like around people, if I'm at a party, I'm very shy and I shy away from people. But the moment I hit that stage, it's a different feeling. I get nerve from somewhere, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's because something I love to do.
When she walked on that stage, she walked out there like Rocky, you know, and she started singing, and that was it. It was her place for an hour, hour and a half, you know, 20,000 people in the palm of her hand. The First Lady of Song, is that her nickname? Maybe so. Maybe so.
Summertime. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Bye. The strain of a constant touring was beginning to show.
I really noticed it on a concert in Nice, where she got all feverish, you know, like, and kind of backed up to the piano, I guess, like, just for support, because she must have felt like she might have fainted or something. But when she backed up to the piano, I could just feel the heat coming off of her body, you know. It was just really, you know, it was warm enough to make me warm.
She ignored the warning and continued on her punishing schedule.
We played London, we played Paris. We travel almost like every day we're playing a different country or a different city. Sometimes we play two cities a day.
You've had some of the most extraordinary people playing the piano for you. What do you expect from an accompanist?
Well, I like, you know, I'm not a musician. What I've learned, I've learned.
You want me to fight you on that, or
no,
just
no. All right. I mean, I'm not a reader, or you know, learned it from the piano. It's just what God
gave
me. Can
I trade a few people in that for you that I know about? Okay.
I don't sing the same thing every time unless we're just singing a ballad. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think I run the piano players crazy because they have to follow me. I sing just what comes out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I guess it's confusing.
I think we were playing a gig in London, and I guess I got too overconfident myself, and she just turned around and said, if it's going to be like this, you know, I'm getting out of the business. So I said, wow, this is that's a serious thing. Me, the pianist, was the cause of Ella Fitzgerald to get out of the business. So I got myself together.
I dig my Sundays, and everybody here, I think, once in a while grabs a guitar or tries to play a guitar. And when you say guitar, they all seem to like what we call country and western. Swing your button around and around and around. To another kind, you know. I want to please everybody, all the music lovers, and there's so many of us here. When we're home alone, I bet we put the same music on and start to do everything that we see the others do, the young ones. I do, and they call the music soul change.
Come along, and then I love you.
comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, and I'll understand. And in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I shall meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure to meet him one day. Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love.
Ella wanted someone to love, and he came along. Tor Einar Larsen, a Norwegian producer.
And he'll be big and strong.
The couple denied that they were married, but they acted as if they were, and Ella told the press that Larsen was applying for a visa to visit the United States.
It wasn't a scandal. It was just at that time people did not accept the fact that they're of the racial situation. So it became like a little headline.
She was obviously happy, but suddenly her dreams were shattered. Larsen was arrested for stealing money from a former fiancé and sentenced to 5 months at hard labor. He was barred from entering the United States. The affair was over.
Life is lonely again. And only last year, everything seemed so sure. Now life is awful again. A trifle of hearts could only be Paris will ease the bite of it. All I care is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. I'll live a lush life in some small dive, and there I'll be while I rot with the rest of those who
love life was what she expected it to be. her private life or nothing like that, but I know that she had a great life, you know. She had everything that a woman could want.
Everything a woman could want. Wealth, fame, and a beautiful home in Beverly Hills. But she was rarely there.
I've been on the road so much, and I'm very proud of my son for the simple reason he's had to practically raise himself in a way, because he's had to use his own judgment in a lot of things. And in spite of that, I can say, and knock on wood, that he still hasn't really caused me any too much trouble.
When you look at her upbringing, the things that went into her life and what she had to go through, all I can say is that she gave to me as much as she could, and she loved me as much as she could, and I always knew, and she always knew, that no matter what, we would be there, you know?
Ella paid a heavy price for her career. Ray Jr. left home, and for a while, they were rarely in touch. She began to rely more and more on her audience for the love that was missing in her life. And the audience adored her. She played only the top venues around the world and always packed them. At the first Grammy Awards, Ella won two, a record that stood until she did it again the next year. In her lifetime, she won 13 Grammys and sold over 40 million records. Ella was now a living legend. She joined that rare group of performers who are on the first-name basis with the world, and she enjoyed the company.
A singer like yourself, how do you get started?
Well, the best thing is to start out very young with children's songs.
Oh.
Yeah, do you know any children's songs?
Ella, may I tell you something? Mm-hmm. I have the largest repertoire of children's songs since Mother Hubbard.
Bring yellow basket.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. How do we get across the town now that the bridge is down?
You gotta roll your boat gently down the stream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Now is the time to get up and go. Grab up a paddle and face the wind. You gotta roll, roll down the stream. You'll find life is but a dream. You gotta roll.
And dined on Mulligan stew, and never wished for turkey. As I hitched and hiked and drifted to from Maine to Albuquerque, alas, I missed the Bozarts ball. And what is twice as sad? I've never been to a party where they honored Noel Cat. Social circles move too fast for me. My whole Bohemia is the place to be.
She gets too hungry for dinner at eight. Loves the theater, but she never comes late.
I never bother with people I hate. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Doesn't dick dice games with barons and earls.
I won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls.
She won't dish the dirt with the rest of those girls.
That's
why the lady is a tramp.
I love the free, fresh wind in my hair.
Life without care.
I'm broke.
That's so.
Hey, California, it's cold and it's damp.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
He loved her. I mean, he didn't volunteer those kind of remarks about everybody. But he just, when her name came up, he went into rapture. They worked pretty well together.
I don't think anybody was thinking whether I was black, he was white. I think everybody was just thinking we were just singing. And that's what made the program so beautiful. It was just two artists up there singing, having a ball.
Ella seemed to thrive on touring, and fans were like family to her. Being on the road made it difficult to have a real family, but she had always remained close to her sister and was devastated when she received a telegram.
Her sister died, and she sent for me a couple of minutes later, and she said, I decided there are children that have to be taken care of and educated. I got to go out there and work. Find out the funeral chapel and whatever, and I'll take care of everything. And then she started to cry.
It went way past her having just nieces and nephews. She had an aunt, and she had a cousin. I guess she had many cousins. How many of them she was taking care of, I don't know. But that was a lot of money. And see them reared, and then the girls, you know, would have their separate families, and she would see to that they all had what they needed for their kids.
And she said, well, you know, that old thing, the show's got to go on. I got to go out there and sing so I can take care of those kids.
The guys, they were having fun, but they felt a little challenged after a while when they started exchanging these phrases, and she would come back with the same phrase, no matter how intricate. Mysterious.
was in her fifth decade of performing without showing any sign of slowing down. But there was something new in her life.
We have a 10-month-old young lady in our house who has taken over the house. I can't get back home fast enough to get to that baby. You'd think it was my baby.
Her little granddaughter, Alice, oh, she just adored her. She said, you gotta help me. I'm making a birthday party for Alice. And then when Alice and all the friends came to the party, she said to Ella, can I sing you a song? And Ella said, sure, what are you gonna just sing? She says, and she sang her, You Are My Sunshine. Well, I don't think I've ever seen Ella as touched in her life as this little child singing You Are My Sunshine. And she, to her, Ella was not a singer. She didn't, you know, it didn't matter. That was her grandma.
One of the best kept secrets about Ella was her deep concern for children. Her difficult early life was a lesson she never forgot. Quietly and without publicity, she helped many children find security and love.
I saw so many schools and young kids and where she would give them huge grants so the little kids would have a place to go, you know, during the day when they should be taken care of. She loved children so much. You know, like the Pied Piper.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me, and somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart has been dreaming long before I knew. Someone warm as you could make my dreams come true. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before. I won't let nothing desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
Make it for once in my life.
came down this one morning, and, you know, and I said, "How you doing, dear?" And I took her hand around, and she was ice cold from the wrist to the elbow, which means there's nothing going on there, you know. And she'd been complaining, you know, about not feeling well. And I said, "You better have your heart checked." I said, "I mean, you have nothing going on between your elbow and your hand."
Ella, in September of 1986, had her quintuple bypass surgery and a heart valve replaced. And the story was out, and even though she didn't believe it, that was Ella going to ever sing again? That was the big fear.
And she was so sick. So very sick. And she didn't realize she had diabetes. She said, "June," she said, "why they got this needle in my finger?" She said, "Because it hurts. And they come to test it to see what test it's going to read, you know." And she said, "But it hurts so bad, you know I don't have diabetes." I said, "Well, maybe they'll find that out." And we, of course, had to be quiet about the seriousness of her illness.
As soon as she recovered from the surgery, Ella was back on the road.
Norman honestly tried from the early 80s on to get her to retire. And he was turning down gigs, and Ella called and said, "I want to work."
As long as she could get out there and sing, she didn't care if you rolled her out in a wheelchair or if you propped her up. She wanted to entertain. That was where her joy was.
Once in a while, will you try to give one little thought to me? Maybe nearer your heart. Once in a while, will you think of the moments I shared with you? Moments before we two drifted apart. In love's smoldering ember, one thought may remain. If love still can remember, the flame will burn again. I know that I'll be contented with yesterday's memories, knowing you'll think of me.
We learn today that the jazz singer Ella Fitzgerald, now almost 76, has had both legs amputated below the knee because of complications from diabetes. The operation was sometime last year, but only disclosed today. Miss Fitzgerald is said to be recovering well.
She'd sometimes wake up in the middle of the night, her niece told me, and say, "We've got to get ready, get Pete." Well, Pete had died already. "It's time, we've got to get to Cincinnati, or we've got to get to Chicago." And finally they would quiet her down by saying, "Well, Ella, the concert's next week." And that would quiet her down. So she always had this in her mind that she was going to continue to sing. And that was her way of dealing with it.
On June 15th, 1996, Ella Fitzgerald died.
I don't know whether I was relieved or what. In a way, I think I was. And in another way, she was gone. But I felt that if she was free of all of this, and that's the only thing she could do, then I'd rather see her in another place. It's a much better place.
Her son arranged the entire funeral. I was in the family car, and I said, you know, everybody was kind of weepy, and I said, well, one thing I want to tell you. Ella was here right now. She loved the whole idea. She loved to stop traffic. She said if she got dressed up sometime, and she said, I said, how'd you look, Ella? She said, I stopped traffic. I said, could you imagine? They stopped the traffic on the freeway for the funeral procession to go through. Ella would have loved that.
We want to leave you happy. Don't want to leave you sad. We want to